From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. This week we've heard how law enforcement agencies are seizing hundreds of millions of dollars in drug money on America's highways. Once the money's taken in, though, there's little accountability or oversight. NPR has found dozens of cases where police and prosecutors' offices are getting in trouble for misspending confiscated cash. Most of the seized drug profits are used for legitimate law enforcement, but there are allegations that some police officials are using theirs as personal slush funds. NPR's John Burnett has our final report on dirty money.
Camden County, Georgia, is famous for Cumberland Island National Seashore, the Kings Bay Submarine Base, the historic town of St. Mary's, and Sheriff Bill Smith. The tanned, white-haired lawman is now running for his seventh term. It's a dynasty. His father and grandfather were Camden County sheriffs before him. Here's his campaign song, now playing on local radio.
He's rough around the edges, just like that star that's on his chest. Old Bill Smith, he's still the best.
The 70-year-old sheriff's career has been subsidized by his remarkable success at seizing drug money off of Interstate 95, which runs through the county north-south. Over the past decade and a half, his highway interdiction team has grabbed more than $20 million from drug money couriers.
I'd say Camden County has probably been one of the most successful agencies on the eastern seaboard in seizing money belonging to the drug dealers.
With this endowment, he's built a law enforcement empire in this quiet, pastoral county tucked between the Florida border and the Atlantic Ocean. First, there was the new sheriff's substation.
We spent about $3 million on going in and redoing the whole establishment there and putting in a 911 center, state-of-the-art, best equipment money can buy.
Then Smith bought vehicles for other county departments and for neighboring law enforcement agencies. He purchased boats that some wisecrack are his Camden County Navy, and he created an estimated $600,000 in scholarships.
And we've had quite a few individuals from our department to go and get their associate's degree, their bachelor's degree, and master's degrees.
And the purchases got more exotic. There was the $90,000 Dodge Viper for the sheriff's DARE anti-drug program. Lieutenant William Terrell opens a trailer parked in the lot behind the substation to reveal the gleaming, low-slung sports car.
The year we took this out to Las Vegas for the National DARE Convention, it was the number one DARE car in the country.
The sheriff spent so much seized drug money that the regional newspaper in Jacksonville, the Florida Times-Union, began to write stories about it, about the $250,000 he gave to his alma mater, the Citadel, for a scholarship, and the $12,000 he gave to the Spinal Cord Center in Atlanta, where his paralytic son had been treated. But the expenditure that raised eyebrows the highest was the $50 a week he paid to county jail trustees, the sheriff says, to do public works and teach them a work ethic. His chief critic says he used them to build a weekend home called the Ponderosa. Steve Berry, a lawyer and novelist, sits on the Camden County Commission, which sued Smith over control of the forfeiture money.
The Ponderosa is probably the pinnacle of the abuse. The sheriff buys a piece of property in the center of the county, little old house on it, takes inmates out there. They rebuild the entire house into a very nice party house.
Sheriff Smith.
That's just completely untrue. I can't believe Mr. Berry would say something like that. It must be a figment of his imagination. I think you probably know he's a fiction writer, and he's pretty good with that. But that's not true.
The allegations in general that Sheriff Smith misused forfeiture money, and in particular that he used it to pay inmate labor, were serious enough that a federal grand jury in Savannah is now looking into them. Federal guidelines specify that forfeiture money is to be used strictly for law enforcement purposes. Smith would not comment on the investigation, except to say all the expenditures were legal, documented, and he can account for every penny. The accusation that Sheriff Bill Smith used forfeiture funds at his whim is at the heart of wider criticism that there are scant controls over how seized drug money is used. Again, Commissioner Steve Berry.
And that's really the root of the problem. You have one man in total control of $25 to $30 million with no checks and balances. Now, you can imagine what would happen at that point. I mean, the old adage of, you know, absolute power corrupts absolutely is proven perfectly there.
Around the nation, there are plenty of other examples of misspent forfeiture money. Running clothes for the Austin Police Department, bomber jackets for the Colorado State Patrol, football tickets for the Fulton County, Georgia DA's office. You could say, so what? Cops have a tough job and they don't get paid much, so let them have some new running shoes and a few end zone seats. The investigation in Camden County, Georgia, however, shows the potential for abuse when a public safety official has unfettered access to millions of dollars with little accountability. Here in Texas, there's growing concern about the brazen misuse of seized drug funds, which are mammoth. Last year, Texas law enforcement confiscated more than $125 million in drug assets.
Criminal Justice Committee, come to order. Clerk Colorado.
Whitmire.
2 weeks ago, State Senator John Whitmire called a hearing of the Criminal Justice Committee to look into allegations he's been hearing about loose spending by district attorneys. Under law, not only the police, but prosecutors also get to keep a portion of the proceeds from the drug money cases they handle. He heard about the DA in Kimball County, who took his office to Hawaii for a training seminar, and the DA in Montgomery County, who wrote a check to a political buddy's golf tournament fundraiser. Speaking to a hearing room full of stone-faced DAs in blue suits and cowboy boots, Whitmire said there ought to be a law to go after prosecutors who spend money on, quote, toys for the department.
If there's not one, we damn sure need to get one, because it's going to run a very good program if we don't tighten it up, put accountability, and cut out the abuses.
There are two asset forfeiture systems, state and federal. The one in Washington exerts more oversight. Yet the Inspector General only audits an average of 5 law enforcement agencies a year out of more than 8,000 participants. There was no audit, for instance, of the Camden County Sheriff's Office, even though there had been complaints about Smith's extravagant spending for years. Richard Weber, chief of the Justice Department's Asset Forfeiture and Money Laundering Section, insists the controls are adequate and they're catching and correcting the small number of agencies that go astray.
We're talking about, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, 8,000 or so recipients, and very few cases of abuse.
Weber concludes, forfeiture is one of the best law enforcement tools in the federal arsenal to fight drug trafficking.
When you take away the money and you take away the profit, then you're making a substantial, you know, impact, not only on that individual case, but on entire criminal networks.
But how much of an impact, really? 90 interviews conducted with law enforcement officials, prosecutors, and forfeiture attorneys around the nation suggest that police agencies that claim they're helping to win the drug war by seizing piles of dirty money are mainly helping to boost their own budgets. And as we heard in Monday's report, in the extreme, officers will use their badges to take cash from drivers without any evidence they're involved in drug trafficking. Fidel Gonzalez is commander of a narcotics task force in South Texas, located on a major smuggling corridor.
For every $2 million that gets seized on the highways, it'll fit on a pinhead, because you're making a dent on the cartel organization, but it's pretty much chump change for them.
In fact, the nation's top money laundering cop, Don Semesky, chief of financial investigations for the Drug Enforcement Administration, had this to say.
You're not solving anything by taking the cash and declaring victory. You cannot deny enough cash by just taking the cash. There's too much cash involved. You can't win it by just that.
The exaggerated attention to seizing cash prompted the Domestic Highway Enforcement Project of the White House Drug Czar's office to urge more public safety agencies to refocus on the police work. The project's chairman, Jack Killoran, says officers should be chasing intelligence as well as currency.
What we're trying to do is get people to move beyond the stop and grab and get into the investigation of the criminal organization.
A good example is Operation Money Clip. 5 years ago, a West Texas sheriff stopped a pickup on Interstate 10 and discovered $2.2 million in a hidden compartment. That single traffic stop led to investigations in 25 U.S. cities, 22 tons of illegal narcotics seized, and 83 people arrested. Some lawmen who abuse asset forfeiture may also end up in prison. Tomorrow, a federal judge in Raleigh will sentence the former sheriff of Robeson County, North Carolina. He and 21 of his deputies, nearly a quarter of the entire department, were caught in a federal investigation called Operation Tarnished Badge. Among their crimes, two deputies racially profiled Hispanic drivers on Interstate 95, pulled them over, and seized more than $9 million between 2000 and 2004. They said it was drug money, and they were convicted of skimming cash off the top. The sentencing judge commented, they weren't enforcing the law at all. They would just go fishing.
That's the fourth in a series of reports from NPR's John Burnett.